I think that the most practical opportunities for strengthening bitochen must come more than just once a week, because once a week is nice, you know, and it keeps the focus, and maybe it's enough that if a real serious problem is going on, then we can reference it. But the real trick in chizuk and bitochen is almost, if not daily and a few times a day, momentarily, constantly. In fact, in Shmoneh Esrei we say, ki lishuoscho kivinu, not kol yom, we hope for your Yeshua, kol hayom, all day long. And that's really the goal, because ultimately what Hashem wants is our connection to Him. And that connection, the more directly connected, the more intensely connected, the more ongoing, moment by moment we're connected, the greater the schus we have, the greater the inspiration we have, strengthens our bitochen, and that really fulfills the tachlis of why Hashem put us in this world, to be close to Him, so we get the ultimate hanoah and the ultimate schar. So, therefore, I can't say that that's the reason why, but we certainly have an opportunity to strengthen our bitochen three times a day in Shmoneh Esrei. Shmoneh Esrei is a series of brochas, which every word, I would say, mamish every word, every brocha, and kimat every word in the brocha, is an opportunity to strengthen bitochen. So that's three times a day, you know, at intervals. The Kuzri says that we draw our strength from shachris to mincha in the middle of the day. We stop for another injection, and then ma'ariv before the night sets in. And that's the way we nourish and re-nourish our spiritual being. So tefillah Shmoneh Esrei is really that opportunity. It's really, I look at it, it's like a Musa Seder. Instead of making a Musa Seder three times a day, where we study the Chazal and study the Psukim of Bitochen, we express it in the words and in the heartfelt feeling behind tefillah. So I thought that maybe we would at least try to introduce the concept of Shmoneh Esrei and Bitochen, and then in these, which I only took as many as I could find, looks like that's the way to get extra people to come. And I don't have one for everyone, but we are reprinting them any day. So basically, and this is a work that was written for that purpose, just to show throughout the Shmoneh Esrei how every phrase can potentially strengthen our bitochen. So whoever wants can take one of those. Let's start at the beginning. The Goyin in the Avnei Eliyahu writes that the shoresh of the word tefillah comes from the posuk, what we read a few weeks ago, where Yaakov said to Yosef, he says, Ra'oi ponecha loy pilolti. And Rashi says, Loy melo'ani libi lachshev. My heart never allowed me to think positively that I would ever see you again. That was his comment when he met Yosef again. Loy melo'ani libi lachshev. Loy pilolti. He says the shoresh of tefillah is from that pilolti, a positive machshava, an optimistic machshava, a sense of hopeful thinking, a sense of reliant thinking. So tefillah is really very directly connected with the various levels and types of bitochen, and it's an opportunity to achieve that. We start with something that I actually heard from your grandfather, Rabbi Moshe Chait, Zichron Levrocha, many years ago. He says, we start the Shmoneh Esrei. Hashem Sfosai Tiftoch Ufi Yagid Tilosecho. I'm standing here, Abal Bechira. I want to praise, and not just praise, I want to praise, and I want to request from my Creator the things that I need. And I have to ask Him, please open my mouth so I should be able to do it. It's the utter and ultimate statement of inability, of helplessness, We're helpless without the Rebbeinu Shlom. We can't even open our mouths to praise him and to ask him and talk to him and nothing. Hashem svasai tiftoch. That's the way it begins. So that already sets the tone for this sense of dependency that we're going to feel, that we want to feel in the tefillah, and hopefully to turn that into our continued reliance on Hashem. Now, to me, the concept of tefillah, it's not nice to say it, you know, sometimes you choose words just because they attract attention, but it's ingenious. Of course it's ingenious. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. We wouldn't expect anything less. But it's really ingenious. Why? Because if the idea is to connect us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our connections to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have a problem. Our neshama craves that connection. Our guf craves other things. And that's the way he created it, so that there's a tension. And that tension gives us the bechira chofshis and the ability to earn that which we achieve, to rise above the distractions and the temptations and the pulls of the guf, and to be able to voluntarily and through choice, and therefore deservant of great schar, connect with the Rebbeinu Shalom. But tefillah is very, very ingenious. Forgive me. Why? Because we use the bodily desires to connect to Rebbeinu Shalom. What am I doing? I'm praising him and asking him to satisfy my needs so that my physical, material existence has now been incorporated in my spiritual pursuit. Because I'm using, I need parnos, I need food, I need health, I need everything I need. And I'm asking him for that, which means I am connecting not only the neshama with that love and that his kashrus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but all of my, I have a pain in my toe, please help me with that pain. So, call that smoisei toimarno. I'm speaking to Hashem with every fiber of my being because I'm beseeching him for all of my physical material needs as well as my spiritual connection. So I think that's really the system. Therefore, it's an opportunity to really, really, really connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, tefillah is not about words. In fact, the organ with which tefillah is performed is not the lips. It's avoda shebelev. Avoda shebelev, it's with the heart. It's the feeling, it's the emotion. And the lips are just, it seems from the Achronim, to focus that emotion. Do you know, it seems, and this is a whole pilpul, which is not 100% clear, but it seems that before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were mesadeh the nusach of the tefillah, then midoraisa, you had to speak out the tefillah. Once they were mesadeh the nusach, midoraisa, you don't really have to speak it out. It's only the Achronim say that helps to focus. What's the pshat? I think the pshat is like this. Because before there was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made a nusach tefillah, everybody said what was on his mind. Got a little bit out of hand. Got a little bit hefker. I'm thinking this, I'm thinking that. I'm not really thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking. I'm confused. And unless I say it out, if I just think it, there's no seder. There's no focus. You know how many times we set our minds to think about something and we wake up 10 minutes later. We wake up, that's if we didn't fall asleep. But we become aware 10 minutes later, I'm thinking about something else altogether. That's the mind plays those tricks. But when I have a text, so now I have something to focus. Even if I'm not saying the words, I can look, I can focus, put my finger. And therefore, it seems that once they were mesadeh v'nusach, it was less of an imperative to say it. And the saying is more just the focus. In fact, if you notice, you'll find in Hilchas Kriya Shema, Brochos, and Birchas Hamozein, the halacha is you have to say the brochos, and the Mishnah Berurah brings a discussion of hirhur kedibur or not. In tefillah, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring such a discussion, because you don't have to know whether hirur is kedibur, because al pidin hirur would be enough. Except the lashon of the chaver is you have to be mevate bisvosov, like mouth it almost. Because and we say that the achronim say you have to at least a little bit that you should be able to faintly hear what you're saying. But that's all for the purpose of focus. But ultimately, tefillah is avodah shebelev. So to properly do tefillah, it really has to be the heart, which means we have to know what we're saying, and we have to think and pay attention to what we're saying, and feel what we're saying. Now, Baruch Hashem, the Iker of Tefillah really is, it seems from the Loshon of the Keser Reish, the Reb Chaim Voloshin, is Derech Tachnunim. It's begging. Begging Hashem. The begging is a little bit easier to feel with the heart than the praises. First of all, praises, abstract. Second of all, he doesn't really need my praises. The praises are all for my benefit, and all right, Simon. Oh, but when I want something, that's where we can really access the heart. Somebody is sick. Somebody needs parnosa. Somebody needs a shidduch. Somebody needs we have a guy in yeshiva who every time he has to take a test, sends out a whole text, everybody please be mispal for me. I have a text at this, that's when it's easier to access the heart. So that's what the Shemoneh Esrei does, and that's what we're trying to do, and it's structured. And be'ikar, it has to be derech tachnunim, we're begging Hashem. However, begging Hashem, in order for the heart to feel that real begging, has to be a couple of other conditions. Number one, and these conditions I guess we could broadly classify as emunah. I have to know that he's there. If I know he's there, I once in my naivete as a young machanach exempted someone from coming to davening because he said he didn't believe in God. I don't think I would do that today. First of all, it was baloney. But anyway, I said, well, if you don't believe in God, how can I make you daven? You can't say I gave him books to read, he should believe in God. But I said, I don't know, I think just a novice at work, but whatever it is, but it's, that's the idea. If there's no God, then who am I davening to? And if he's not powerful, if he's helpless, if he's weak, why am I wasting my time? If he doesn't care, or he's not concerned, or he doesn't pay attention to the minutia and the petty things going on in the world, then again, well, what's the point? But when I know that he's there, and he's all-powerful, and he's molei chesed v'rachamim, and he cares, and he pays attention to all the details, wow, I'm at the right address. However, that's not all. This Shemoneh Esrei starts with one step deeper than being at the right address. We say Baruch Ato Hashem. Baruch literally meaning you are the Mekor HaBrochis. You're the source of all brocha. Because, and we actually say this again in the second brocha, if I think that there's an alternative source, I can't put my heart into you. When we make a request of someone, but I really have a backup idea. If that doesn't work, I'll go to the other guy. It's not the same heartfelt request. There's certainly not the same reliance. There's not the same desperation. There's not the same focus because, you won't help me. I got it already. How about the Eitzes, And sometimes, and maybe this is the worst part, I'm the other Eitzah. I got my own resources. That's nice. I talk to you. I wouldn't mind if you pay for it, but if you don't pay for it, I'll pay for it. Narin. There ain't no such thing. But then, so it has to be Mekor HaBrochos. You're the Mekor HaBrochos. You're the source. Everything comes from you. There is no other place. And the truth is, we say that in the next bracha, we say, Mi komoicho baal givurois, who is like you, the master of all power, umidoy meloch. There's nobody even comparable to you. And the Chovos HaLevavos points out that in order to have bitochen, a person has to know that Hashem is the only one, and there's nothing that's even somewhat vaguely comparable. Because the minute I think there's something comparable, all right, tomanisht, okay, if you don't, you don't want, or you don't, maybe, I have another possibility, Choch. No, there's no, you're the Mekor HaBrochos, there is no other possibility. So this already sets the tone for my heart to speak and beg Hashem to help me. Now, we want, though, to take this to the next level, which is to the level of bitochen. We want to inspire not only a begging, we want to inspire bitochen. And I guess we could point out how important that is, because in this parsha that we just read Shabbos, and we've mentioned this I think, at this table. But the Orach Chaim HaKodesh asked the question where they were coming to the Yam Suf. Paro is behind them, and the Yam Suf is here, and the wild animals are here. And Moshe Rabbeinu is, the Klal Yisrael is complaining, and Moshe Rabbeinu is crying to Hashem. And Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Matitzak Elai, Dabar el Bnei Yisrael v'Yisoh. So the Orach Chaim asks, to whom shall he cry? What kind of Matitzak Elai? You want me to go back to the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim? What kind of? So the Orach Chaim says like this. He says the tefillah wouldn't help at this time. There was some kind of a kittrig, maybe because of what they did in Mitzrayim. The Sultan had a kittrig on them. He had an ability to counter, in a certain sense, their tefillah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Yisoh. Express in active action, in real time, in reality, in action, your emunah and your bitochen. Go into the Yam Suf. That can help when even tefillah can't help. So tefillah, begging and beseeching Hashem, is a tremendous way. In fact, that is the concept of tefillah, by the way, because just in a backdrop and an aside, because many people are concerned, well, listen, if Hashem wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. If he doesn't want it, he won't give it. If I deserve it, I'll get it. If I don't deserve it, I won't get it. So what am I davening for? And the answer is really very simple. I didn't deserve it when I came to the Shmon Esrei. Because if I did deserve it, I wouldn't have to ask for anything. But the act of tefillah, the bakosha, the tchina, and the bitochin that can be inspired through it can create an entitlement that it wasn't entitled to 2 minutes before. As I stepped into the Shmon Esrei, I thought I wasn't entitled. If I was supposed to have it, it would have been in the mailbox already. But no, I wasn't. But I'm a new person. I elevate myself. I reconnect with Hashem. I have a deeper connection. And I not only beg Him with the sincerity of my heart, which brings me closer to Him, but I've inspired myself through that process to trust Him, to rely on Him, not to lose hope in Him. Oh, that's a new level of entitlement. And now I'm a different person entitled to that which I wasn't entitled before I began the process. So we want to get to that. So far we're only at the Mekor HaBrochis. I'm at the right address. Good. The Rabbeinu Yoina at the end of the first parak in Brochis. On the Gemara, where the Gemara says why we bow down and then straighten up when we say Hashem's name, Al Shem HaPosuk, based on the Posuk Hashem, Zoykef Kifufim. Hashem straightens out those that are bent. And Rabbeinu Yonah says as follows. When we bend down, we say Baruch Ato. We're saying Hashem is the source of all brocha. But I am in fear that maybe I don't deserve it. I'm at the right address. I have the right connections. I even have a personal relationship at all. I didn't say Baruch, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Ato. It's personal. But maybe I don't deserve it. And I'm bowing down like this. And then we straighten up when we say the Hashem Hashem. And the Rabbeinu Yonah brings the Posuk of Mishlei. Beyiras Hashem Mivtachois. In the fear of Hashem lies the strength of Bitochen. When I pick up my head, I'm arising from this fear. And say, I'm turning to you. You're the Zekif Kefufim. Not every person who's bent over, who's lying in bed and wakes up in the morning and can stand up is deserving. There must be some people, and it must be a lot of people, there must be most of the people in the world who don't even deserve to be able to straighten up in the morning. And yet you do it for them every single day. Hashem Zekif Kefufim. Ah, you just do chesed. That's what you do. You have rachamim and chesed, even beyond what people deserve. That strengthens my bitochen. So the Baruch Ato Hashem, the standing in front of the Mekor HaBrochas at the right address, the bowing down in fear, beyiras Hashem, and the straightening up, Hashem, I look to Hashem and I say, beyiras Hashem mivtach ois. I've inspired myself to have bitochen in Hashem. From the depths. And we know the famous Moshe the Briskarov, I'm sure we've mentioned it here too, that somebody's walking along and somebody behind them is walking with a gun. So it depends like this. The one who's walking in the front is very happy, he's about bitoch and everything's fine. If he doesn't know that the guy has a gun aimed at him, he's not about bitoch. He just doesn't know what's going on. That's not real. But if he knows that the guy has his gun out and he's gunning for him and he wants to shoot him and he's still a Baal Bitochen, that's a Baal Bitochen. Same thing. If we didn't have the fear, it's not real bitachon. Not real bitachon. When a person has endless funds in the bank, he doesn't have bitachon that he'll have parnosa. No such thing. The Baal Bitochen is the one that doesn't have. The Mon taught us Bitochen, because when I went to sleep at night, the cupboard was bare. And I wake up in the morning and here it is again by my doorstep. And that lesson was a difficult lesson, Rabban says, the whole 40 years of the Midbar. Even though every single day for 40 years it came, and when Friday came and I took for Shabbos, it was enough, it became enough for Shabbos too. I still, it's an assignment. I went to sleep at night with nothing. Trust the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's like where we learn that lesson of Bitochen. Anyway, so Baruch Ato Hashem, we've already set the stage for our Bitochen in Hashem. Now, of course, we know that the halacha is that the first Brocha and Moedim actually have to be said not only with Kavona of Lifnei Miato Oimed, knowing that you're standing in front of Hashem, but with Pirush Hamilas. And it seems that those two brachas are critical to capture the avodah shebalev, the feeling in the heart that we have in order to develop that reliance on Hashem. So let's try at least to be mefarish at least briefly those two brachas, and the rest, anyone who's interested. Elokeinu v'elokei aviseinu. So first of all, Elokeinu is a very, very intimate type of a thing. Elohim, that's the Shofet and the Shalit. Shelanu is ours. I declare his name upon me. He's mine. If it, in a sense, forgive me, it's almost a possessive terminology. My God. Wow. That in itself, hey, if it, my God. If the Shalit, the ruler, the controller, and the Shefet, the one who's forever judging us in seeing what we earn or what we deserve with Mishpat, and he's a Hakim Shalom. That's great. But if I really deep down don't even feel worthy of that, and it shakes me up a little bit, and I wonder, maybe that's not enough to be able to count that it'll take care of me because we have this special relationship. He's the Elohim of our fathers. That's already different. Elohim Avraham, Elohim Yitzchak, Elohim Yaakov. Now, just like to point out, you know, each one of the Ovis had their own unique expressions of godliness that the Torah relates to us. But there was one common denominator which really entitled them to that, the Shem Hashem to be upon them. And I think the simplest example is written in the Karbonus, in the Nusach that the Ashkenazim say, not the Sfaradim, the Ashkenazim, in Nusach Ashkenazim, we say, K'moyshe kovash Avroma v'inu esrachamo b'ben yechidoi, v'rotzo lishchoit oisoi, k'dei lasos ritzonecho. I think in Nusach Sfaradim they say it a little differently. But he's kovash esrachamo, v'rotzo lishchoit, he wanted to shecht, not he wanted to do the rotzon Hashem. No. He wanted to shecht in order to do the Rotzon Hashem. They perfected their Avodas Hashem to the extent that their Rotzon was Ritzonoi Kirtzonecho. They wanted, Avraham Avinu wanted to shecht his son because that was the Rotzon Hashem. Imagine that. A level of human perfection where all of my Ritzonos don't exist. You know what I want in life? Only the Rotzon Hashem. We can say it. We say the words. It's easy to say. But that's who we're talking. Wow. If we need Schus Ovis, look what we have to turn to. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still paying the Schus Ovis to this very day. Because we know that I like to look at it, the concept of Schus Ovis is that, you know, if we have enough on our own merit, okay, Hashem gives us what we deserve. If we don't, and he's looking for Schus Ovis, what does he do? So he, I mean, there's a shiloh, kolos chusovis, and this, it's all shiloh in the Gemara. But I like to look at it like this. He squeezes another little bit of schus out of, okay, that's Yitzchak. Okay, yeah, you need a little bit? Okay, we'll give it to you. He squeezes another little schus out of what my great-grandfather did. It's, okay, I paid for that, but I can find another little bit. Constantly looking to invoke the schusovis to give us. So we're already primed. for such a sense of trust in Hashem and reliance and confidence, because look what he's doing. He stacked his whole Bria in our favor to give us opportunity upon opportunity and expanded by opportunity just to be able to get the things that we want, because the praise of the first brochas is to set the stage for the requests, the bakoshes of the next brochas, which are the things that we're asking for. Hokel, the Goyin says, kale, the loshen kale is a loshen of gvura. Mikomoicho ba'elim Hashem. And the Goyin says the ultimate gvura of Hashem is that he's kovish his kas kedei l'rachim. And he says, Ugibra, kovish his yisra. He's kovish the kas. We deserve kas. What do you mean? Yeah, I'm trying to rely on Hashem. I want to get this. I want to get that. I know. Oh, but he's so angry at me. He should be so angry at me. Look, for the Lashon Hara I spoke between the last one, Esrei, and this one is enough reason to be angry at me. But Hashem is kovish kas. That's his midah. Kedei l'rachim. He wants to be merachim. Agodol hagibra v'anoira. Godel usually, they say, refers to his anova. What's the greatest expression of Hashem's anova? Miktoich gadlusay shomata. Miktoich anvesanusay shomata meitzay gadlusay. What's the greatest anova of Hashem? He lets us praise him. Because, as we've mentioned here many times, praising Hashem is really an insult. Because no matter how much I understand of his gadlus when I say it, comparatively, and this is a Gemara, comparatively, I really don't get it. The greatest praise I could imagine for him is if anything, an insult, a lie, because he's not. The Gemara compares it to someone who has gold, and I say he has silver. So they learn pshat. The Rambam and the Mir Nebuchim learns pshat that it's not just a pshat. I praise him for less than he is. The whole thing is a lie because he has gold, and I praise him for silver. I know shaychus. I didn't even praise him. I said something irrelevant. Not just I said less. So Hagodol, but he allows us to say Gibra v'Noira. And the Gemara in Yuma says Gibra v'Noira refers to a very beautiful thing. Because the Anshiknes Hagdola, the Nevi'im, Moshe Rabbeinu is called Hashem Hagodol Hagibra v'Noira. The Nevi'im, one by one, Yirmiyah and Daniel, I think, was, they dropped it because Ayei Noira Esecho, Ayei Gvura Esecho. The Goyim treat us the way they do. They come into the Beis HaMikdash, they destroy us, they exile us. Couldn't say the words. The words would be sheker for them to say. And they reinstated them. Hein, hein, Noiro Oisov. You want to see the Noirois of Hashem? You want to see the Gvur of Hashem? So here's what they said. The Gemara in Yuma. I think it's in the Samachs. The Gemara said like this. Gibor, the Gvur of Hashem, that he's kovish his kas against the goyim and lets them have free hand to hurt Klal Yisrael. The noirois is that despite the free hand that they have to do whatever they want, they walk all over the heichal, the Beis HaMikdosh, Klal Yisrael survives and they're only left in the history books and in the museums. If you want to see what it means, noirois of Hashem, look at that. On the one hand, he gives them all kinds of opportunities and carte blanche to hurt Klal Yisrael, and they have throughout the generations. Which such shiny, we still survive, and they're all gone. It's a beautiful moshel, a beautiful imagery that we say in the Kori Benoilim. We say Proikyas Onoch Mipumar Yevosa, redeem your shepsela, your lamb, from the lion's mouth. Klal Yisrael is like a lamb in a lion's mouth. Here we are 2,000 years, the lamb in the lion's mouth. And they've maimed us, and they've hurt us, and they've bled us. But the lamb is still alive and well. The lion's still in the lion's mouth. But that lion can't devour us, no matter how hard he tries. So this is Kael HaGodol HaGibor HaGibor. So if we know what Hashem does, the Neirois of Hashem, to save us and to help us despite all of the negativity that he allows to happen to us, that's already the Neirois of Hashem. And that gives me a sense of he's the one to trust, you know. He takes us out of the worst situations and he orchestrated it that way. He says, I'm going to let them do. That's part of what has to happen. But Mitzad Sheni, I take care of you. Kael Elyoi. This is very also Kale again. We see Skevish the Kas Kedei L'Rachim, but he orchestrates all this from on high. So that the contrast between how high he is and how intimately he's metapil in this world gives us another sense of how much he cares about us. You know, from on high, I really shouldn't pay attention to you lowlifes. Forgive me, I shouldn't say it like that, even in a joke. But, you know, you lowly people, whatever. Little ants. It's like you look like from the plane. You look and you see the trucks that look like ants. You know, when you're very high up. Kael Elyon, and he's goymel chasodim toivim. But he not only bestows chasodim chesed, but toivim. You know what chasodim toivim is? You know the difference between chasodim toivim and chasodim roim? Two differences. Chasodim toivim means it's good all around. A chesed that's not chasodim toivim could be good for one person, but because I gave this good to you, the other guy is going to lose something. You know, the famous marshal that they give, this guy gets taken away, whatever, he has to go, he's taken to jail, and every Thursday morning he used to help this little old lady up with her packages up three flights of stairs. And now she has no one to help her. So he got, you know, he got what he deserved, but she now is out. Chasodim, Hashem's chesed is good for everybody. He orchestrates it all. He orchestrates it all. And also, there's another thing. You know what? A chesed that's not toivim, the guy that does the chesed and never lets you forget about it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you remember what I did for you? Oh, yeah, yeah. What? What, you forgot it for 30 seconds? How could you forget it even for a moment? That's not chasodim toivim. Chasodim toivim is it's all good. It's all kind. It's all generous. No strings attached. No sweat. You don't owe me anything in the process. V'koine hakoil. So here, koine is a loshen kinyan. But they say that the pshat is he creates everything. Because since he's the creator, since he creates, that's why he owns. So Hashem is goymel chasodim toivim. And sometimes, you know, it's hard to do. So he can recreate the whole world just to do chesed. Hashem, imagine, see, the magnitude of Hashem's chesed, if it has to be good for everybody, and it has to be the ultimate good. So sometimes, who knows what kind of machinations after what. But he does all that for chesed, too. And then, when that falls short, he zecher chastei ovis, puts in some schus ovis there, too. Zeicher chastei ovis, because Hashem is committed to do for us. He's gomel chasodim toivim. He's koine akoil v'zeicher chastei ovis. And then he's maybe goyel of nevenem. And I assume the goyel here refers not only to the geula shleima, but to every situation, every time we have a tzara. Goyel of nevenem l'man shemoi ba'ahava. He does it l'man shemoi, which could mean because his name is that of chesed, or it could mean even that he brings kovod shemayim, but all ba'ahava. Because Hashem, if he wants kovod shamayim, it's only for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Because we're nis'aleh with the kovod shamayim. So we have this picture of who the Borei Olam is. It really sets the stage for being able to rely on him. Then Melech Oyezem Rishio Mogen, I'm sure we mentioned that here before. The Goyin says there are three types of saving here, referring to three types of bitochen. Oyezer, he saves. Saving means I mishtadl, and he saves me. Because saving means, helping. Helping means he helps me. I do and he helps. That's helping. Mashiach, he saves. That means I do nothing. It just saves me. Mogen, it protects me even when I put myself in danger. And we say, Baruch HaTo Hashem, again, Mogen Avraham. So this first bracha alone, even if we didn't go any further, it has such a powerful and magnificent koyach to connect us with Hashem and set the tone for being able to ask Him for anything and to rely on Him to deliver when we see the extent of His involvement, of His caring, of His meticulous attention to all the details, what He does and how we make sure everything happens and to what extreme He does to...
Is that the highest level?
What?
Mugging.
Mogen, yeah, again, Mogen is a chol achisim boy. It means that he shields, even if you have bitochen and you don't even do any ishtadlus. Or no, I'm sorry, and you even put yourself in danger. He says the danger is that you're doing it l'shem shamayim. Doesn't as if you stop walking in the middle of a street, you know, I don't know about that. But I'm doing because I have to do it. Hashem is Mogen. It's interesting. I want to skip to the Atokodesh for a moment, but just the next bracha, Machal Kil Chaim Bechesed, it It's interesting that we mention Tchias HaMesim three times. He's Machalkel, he sustains life with Chesed, Mechayim Meisim Rachamah. Semech Neuflim, Reufei Choylim, Umatir Asurim, Umekayim Emenose Sheni Ofor. Mir Komoich Obal Gvuroi Sumi Doimeloch, Melech Meimis Umachaya, Umatzmiach Yeshua. And I think that there is something here that's very, very profound. And two things. Number one, if we really want to see the ultimate Gvura of Hashem, Tchias HaMesim seems to be the ultimate Gvura. Because Tchias HaMesim is so final. It's so final. It's over, finished, it's done. It's literally dead and buried. And if Hashem, it could be Machai HaMesim. We want to talk about the Galus of the Amoroyim. What does the Gemara say? K'tanim Shebehem Machai HaMesim. The smallest Amor knew how to be Machayim Esim. That says it all. What more could you ask to know? So that's one thing. I think there's something else too. Every time we make a statement about the chesed that he does, we mention Tchias HaMesim. Machal kel chayim b'chesed, Machayim Esim. Semech neiflim reifei choylim b'matir asurim, Machayim emunosu. Mi chomoy chomi doymeloch, melech meimisu machayim. I think that the pshat is like this too. There's one chesaron, which there's one area where there's a lack, or there could be a lack of appreciation of Hashem's chesed, and that is a chesaron which we have with our entire material existence. Is that it's over so quickly, it's so limited, it passes, does a chesed, and then it's gone. And even if you mentioned Seinu Shivim Shana, Vim Bigvur Shmonim Shana, before you know it. So we have to mention and remember Tchias HaMesim to appreciate the godless, the greatness, the benefits, the extent of the benefits, the goodness of the benefits that Hashem gives us in this world. Tchias HaMesim sort of makes it like it's not final. The pleasures of this world are limited, but even the limitation becomes reversible. Or there will be a reverse of that limitation. Limitation is, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we're going to die. Okay, fine. Then that happens. But that's reversible too. Ooh, it gives a certain permanence, psychological permanence to the Chesed Hashem. And it actually does. And we know that it gives a certain sense of permanence to a life which is so impermanent because there's Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim sometimes is the greatest form of an achoma because it's over, it's final, but there'll be a reunion. We're going to have a reunion. Anyway, let's just leave for the Ato Kodesh, which is the third part of the first three brochas that we praise Hashem. And here, I'm sure I may have mentioned this before, but I think it's critical to you're holy, your name is holy. The one who's kevish his kas kedei l'rachim hakodesh, the holy one. What does it mean to be holy? Very important. It's an important brocha. We say kedusha every day. Kedusha is very important. People always run to make kedusha with the minyan. What? The pasuk on Rosh Hashanah that we say, a pasuk in Yeshaya, explains what kedusha is. Vayigba Hashem tzvokos b'mishpat, v'hokel hakodesh nikdash b'tzdoka. Hashem tzvokos was elevated in mishpat. It seems to be Shem tzvokos refers to his mishpat, the midas hamishpat. V'hokel hakodesh is nikdash b'tzdoka. He is considered holy, and holy literally means separate. Rashi says that mufresh. Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh means he's separate, 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 above and beyond anything we can imagine. In what? In the Midah of Tzedaka. The Goyin says that the Midah of Tzedaka refers to giving beyond what a person deserves. Even in Tzedaka, when you give Tzedaka, you don't have an actual obligation to that person. You have an obligation to give tzedaka, but you can choose. I want to give this one, I want to give that one, I want to give another one. That's my choice. So here too, Hashem doesn't have the obligation. He says, I didn't earn it. But his midah of tzedaka, kodesh, 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 he gives beyond what we deserve. So this too is a tremendous inspiration to be tochen. Because I'm standing in front of Hashem, and he's Atah Kodesh, V'Shimcha Kodesh. That's what you're all about. Your name is Kodesh. U'Kedoshim B'chol Yom. I guess it's only the Kedoshim, those people that are so elevated that could fully appreciate the extent of your Kedusha, which is your Tztoka. Baruch Atah Hashem Akel HaKodesh. But just to give it a little perspective, the Mishnah Berurah brings in Hilchos Kedusha from a Kabbalah Sefer. And he says, and I think Mordechai Ben David made a song out of it. I think he's the one. I think it starts like that. He says to the Pamalei Shamayla, Terdu or Tov Tagidu Lebonai, Mashani Oise, be sure that the Klal Yisrael says Kodesh, says Kedusha. HaKodesh Baruch Hu says to the Malochim, to whoever it is, to his Shluchim there, he says, when they lift up their eyes, then my eyes, their eyes, connected my eyes. And they recite these words, Kodesh, 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 Hashem, Tzvokos, Bloichoros, Kodesh. He says, Ein li hanoa bo'olam. I have no hanoa in this world like the hanoa that I have at that moment. And I take hold of the Kisei Yaakovid, which is Bidmus Yaakov, and I mechabkoi umenashkoi, I hug it, and I kiss it, and I have rachmonis on them, and mamar the geula, and so forth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein li hanoa bo'olam. When the Klal Yisrael says, Kodesh, 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 what's that all about? So I think it's really just what we said. Kodesh, 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 Hashem Tzvokos. Hashem Tzvokos is Niktash Bitztoko beyond any human comprehension. When the Klal Yisrael realizes the extent of HaKodesh Baruch Hu's Midas HaTztoko, giving us beyond what we deserve, Meloi Chol Ha'oretz Kevoido, what does that mean? The whole world is full of His glory. So the Akutrom says, that's His Hashkocha Protis. The ultimate hisgalus of Hashem's covenant in this world is not the heavenly hosts, but it's the hashgocha that he takes care of, that he does for each and every individual. Every minute little detail of our existence, the hashgocha. So he said like this, when a person realizes that Hashem's midas hatzdoka is infinite, and he engages in Hashgocha Protis constantly, constantly, forever, more and more, infinitely, giving us beyond what we deserve, every situation, trying to work it in our favor, even if we don't deserve it, I'll borrow a little bit, I'll make a little bit, my Midas Hatztoka says, I'm going to give you beyond what you deserve. This is the ultimate appreciation of Hashem, and this is Hashem looks at Klal Yisrael, is turning to him with that ultimate sense of appreciation, who he is. Hashem responds and says, Ein li hanoa bo'olam. I've accomplished my mission. Klal Yisrael has a sense of who I really am. And I would just like to conclude with this concept that this sense is really, really what gives us the koyach to have bitochen. Because when I realize that Hashem, that's what he is. His hashgocha protis is throughout. It's based on an infinite midah of Kedusha, Kodesh, which is an infinite expression of the extent to which Hashem does Tztoka, which is giving us beyond what we deserve. If we have a sense of an ability or a midah of Hashem to give us beyond what we deserve, that's the antidote to any absence of bitochen. Because what do we find is the one and only absence of bitochen? Maybe I'm not worthy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives beyond what we're worth. His Midas Tzatztoka is his Kedusha, Kodesh, 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 to do Tzatztoka, to give us beyond what we deserve. That's his Hashgocha Protis in the world, and that's what he does. If that's what he does, I'm ready for the Shemone Esrei now. I'm ready to ask him to focus on everything and with my heart and beseech him to help me with. I need das and I need tshuva and I need forgiveness and I need geula from all my personal tzoros. I need refuah and I need parnosa and then I need the Klal Yisrael's needs. The Golos is a miserable place for us and all of this. And I have that sense of confidence and trust because he's going to do that. I just want, because I do have to go to that webinar, but I just want to add one thing to Moedim. Contrary to what everybody says, the Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Keser Rosh, was the Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Goin, that Shmon Esrei has to be Derech Tachanunim, not Derech Huido. So it would thanking Hashem. It seems that the essence is not really thanking Hashem. It's really recognizing. Hoido means thank you, but Hoido also means admission. In fact, thank you really is an admission that you're the one that did it. So I think we have to look at that moide more as a recognition. Moide benachnu loch. Shoato hu Hashem elokeinu elokeinu zilon avoid. Tzur chayeinu mogin yishenu ato noide lecho. We will forever be admitting to you because we now know that everything comes from you, and therefore we're admitting to you that all of this, al chayeinu amsurim yadecho, we will always make this admission. We'll never hold back that admission. We'll never deny it. We'll never try to pretend that it was us and not you. And v'horaya, that paragraph is sealed with the words, "Hatoiv kilei cholu rachamecho v'amarachim kilei samu chasodecho me'oilom kivinu loch." And that's the secret. You're the toiv that your rachamim is never withheld, and you're the marachim that you never cease to do chesed. That's why me'oilom kivinu loch. That's why we always hoped you. Why? Because if you would sometimes withhold your rachamim, so I'd say, maybe Hashem does chesed, but without the rachamim, he may not see how dire the situation is. If he sometimes withholds his chesed, so maybe he sees how dire the situation is, it gives a krech, so I feel so sorry for you, but I'm withholding the chesed. But if Hashem never ceases his chesed and his rachamim, then we're always going to get the good. Me'olam kivinu loch. And that mele is like the almost the capstone to this bitochen. Then I said I was ending, but it's hard. Anyway, there's just one more thought. Sim Sholem at the end of the whole thing. Vosidos. Sim Sholem. Years ago, I don't know how it is today, it's going to be now, I don't keep track of whether the mayor is permitting them to charge us for shopping bags or not. It's too complicated for me. But Lemaisa, years ago in Eretz Yisrael, you could tell a serious shopper in the makolet. The serious shopper came with his little sal. Remember those green, red, orange little sals? He came with his sal. He's a serious shopper. The guy who didn't come with anything, he's not serious because he ain't going to get a bag from me, so he's going to have to hold everything like this. Sim Sholem is a statement of how much bitoch we have. Why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last mission in Uktzin, the last mission in Shas says, Lo imotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu kli machzik brocha el ha-sholem. Shenemar Hashem o'islamo yitir Hashem yivorech ha-samo ba-sholem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't find in his world a kli to hold brocha other than sholem. It means if you have a kli, you have brocha. If there's sholem, it's like a kli, you can hold it all. If you have all the brochas in the world, but you don't have a kli to hold it, it's all going to fall apart. It's like you try to go shopping without the sal. It's going to fall. So in a sense, what the Sim Sholem says at the end, Rebbeinu Shalom, we know the Odom Mevorich Esamu Yisrael Basholem. We know there's going to be Sholem, and we know that all the brochas that we're so confident that you're going to give us will remain, will be retained. They won't fall to the wayside because we'll have the Sholem to be machzik the brocha. Shtaka have Sholem.